know, feel what I feel. God is in this house. Amen. Many of you may not know this. Maybe you think that preachers have unlimited creative ability to dive into the Word of God and develop something. Sometimes that's just simply not the case. Sometimes you got to go back to something you preached before and dig a nugget out of it. Now, I've never preached this here, but I have preached this before. And I know what God did the first time, and I know what I feel here today. Amen. So sometimes in life, we all have that thing, that cloud that follows us around. You ever see any cartoons and the little lightning bolt strikes a cartoon character every so often, and everyone else in the cartoon is safe and they're dry and they're enjoying the sunshine, but it just feels like no matter where you go, that little cloud just every so often drops a bunch of rain and strikes you with lightning. Anybody ever feel like that? Man, like no matter what you do, you just can't break free of the weight. And we're going to talk today about the secret companion of sin. The secret companion of sin. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. While you're turning there, let me say a few words. I give honor to Brother Cox. Amen. Remember him in prayer. Amen. He's in his body. And in his spirit, remember Sister Cox, she's ill today as well. And we need to pray for our man of God and his wife. Amen. And I just feel the Holy Ghost in here. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. The Word of God records there, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, you'll hear in every pulpit across America, in every corner church, in every small town, every big city, the weight of sin. Not very often do you hear it given its own category of being the weight. Now, the weight itself may not necessarily be sin, but it still slows you down. And today we're going to preach about the secret companion of sin, which is the weight. Amen. If you would, put your Bibles down. Let's ask God to help us. Amen. Ask God to move upon us. Lord, we love you today. I pray, God, you take a coal from off the altar and touch my lips, God. Let it purify my intentions and my agenda today. God, let this man of God, I pray, speak with boldness and with compassion, God. Let us help somebody today put aside the weights that beset them. God, the things that are slowing them down to being successful in life, from having the peace that passes all understanding, the weights which prevent them from having joy unspeakable and full of glory. I pray, God, you release us today by the anointing and the authority of your word. God, release us from the weight today. In Jesus' name, amen. It doesn't take very long to study the effects of the Roman Empire on the given world. A lot of the things that we deal with today came from the Romans. You like indoor plumbing? Came from the Romans. You like toilets that flush? Came from the Romans. You like the mile markers you see going down the road so you know what exit you turn off on? It came from the Romans. Do you like the design of streets and interstate highways and bridges and archways and plumbing to bring water to fields and aqueducts to move mass amounts of rivers? Amen. Where they actually run rivers over valleys that shouldn't exist. They should be waterfalls, but instead they contain it and they take it to the fields where it's most needed. That's because of the Romans. You ever drive down the country roads? I know you probably have. Amen. I remember doing it to my daughter at least once where the irrigators are spraying across the road and you pull up and she's like, what are you doing? And you roll down the window on her side of the vehicle. Amen. That's thank you to the Romans. Amen. Amen. Rome was a powerful empire and it controlled the known world. Most of it belonged to Rome. But there was also some things we got from the Romans that we ought not be so proud of. Some of the punishments that we dole out came from the Romans. It was the punishment of the Romans thought up by some sadistic ruler of the day that crucified my Lord. It was them that developed a death penalty that involved, amen, hanging a man by his ankles and caning him till he was barely cognizant. And then putting him in a giant leather bag and sewing him up except for his head. And they threw in there a snake and some other critters and that are less than lovely to look at. And then they sew him up in that bag and throw him into the sea. And whatever happened, happened. It was them, men, who would drag men behind horses until there was nothing left to recognize. One such death penalty, amen, for convicted murderers was that their brutality against people that they were especially heinous, that they had committed an especially heinous crime was literally to tie onto the back of the living man a corpse. And they would tie them on so strong that you could not be loosed of the corpse. And as that dead man began to decompose, the toxins and the fumes and the disgusting smells would pervade the body of the living convict until sickness would come, until death would eventually rain down on him in one of the most horrific manners known to man. This was first recorded by the Etruscan pirates as being a form, an acceptable form of death. It was called the body of death. There's not very many places where you can find in Scripture that. Matter of fact, any place you can find in Scripture other than Paul's writings where he talks about, deliver me from this body of death at the end of Romans chapter 7, amen, where he's talking about sin and being unable to get rid of sin. It was there that Paul described his inability to control his sinful nature to the body of death punishment. But I want to talk today about the weight of sin after it's over, once it's forgiven. I want to talk about the weight of guilt, the weight of bitterness, the weight of shame of crimes and sins committed towards you, maybe not even by you, but we wear the weight of sin. And this is the secret companion of sin that no one discusses. It's the nobody wants to talk about what happens afterwards. We come in, we get baptized, and soon our sins are forgiven. But there remains yet the weight. On some occasions, there remains yet the weight, amen, of guilt and of shame, of unforgiveness. There's the weight in the sin, or the weight of the sin of maybe you were done wrong and abused as a child, maybe, amen, mentally or verbally or, God forbid, otherwise. There's the weight, the weight remaining, the companion weight of the sin. Maybe once you've been done wrong in a relationship with someone you trusted wholeheartedly and they bruised you, there remains yet the weight. And you carry around on you this body of death. Brother Drake, come help me, please. Now, I've elected to have Drake help me because he's not very big. Have you ever wondered where we get the expression dead weight? It's from the Romans. And maybe Drake, maybe I didn't do this sin. Maybe something was done to me. Somebody mistreated me. But I carry the weight anyway. Until the toxins of bitterness and of guilt and of shame begin to pervade me until I would want to die myself. But this weight, it's not so bad at first, but you carry it a while. And eventually you're going to be sick. You're going to be sick through the core of your spirit. You're going to begin to stink. You're going to begin to smell the stench of guilt and of shame. You carry this weight of this guilt or shame, this unforgiveness. Maybe somebody did you wrong last month or last week, and maybe it was 40 years ago. And how heavy does the weight get after 40 years? How heavy is the stench beginning of the rotting flesh around you of your own spirit? Drake's not even that big, and you know what? He's heavy. That's funny because we see it, but it's not funny when you worship. It's not funny when we try and pray. It's not funny when you're trying to offer an incense of worship to God and all you can smell is the stench of bitterness. There has to be at some point at which we say, enough is enough. Because if you don't, it's going to kill you. Thank you, Drake. I didn't mean to rip your arms out of socket. As the body breaks down, gases begin to build. Fluids begin to leak. Decomposition begins to take place. And we quite literally live under dead weight. The secret companion to our sins and our mistakes is the weight left behind in that form of guilt or unforgiveness. It is the stain which pervades the pores of our very being. I work for the street department, and occasionally we'll have to get rid of a deer that made it to town and didn't quite get the joke, why did the chicken cross the road? Occasionally we'll have to deal with possums and raccoons that get hit in front of neighborhoods. Does anybody know what a skunk does to a refrigerator? My wife knows what a skunk does to a refrigerator. Now my dad is a taxidermist. He takes those critters and he mounts them up so they look real again. And when we were living in Bloomington, we come across a skunk that was almost completely white where it should have been black, and was almost completely black where it should have been white. It was a genetic anomaly. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. But unfortunately, that beauty has a cost. Amen. And so I thought it would be a good idea to take that thing home to my dad. So I wrapped it in plastic bags. And I tied it tight. And I wrapped it in more plastic bags and I tied it tight. And I wrapped it in more plastic bags and I tied it tight. And I put it in the freezer so that the stench wouldn't make it through the whole house. But it doesn't matter how many layers of bags you put over a dead skunk. It's still a skunk. It pervades absolutely every crease of a refrigerator. Every crease. So much so we got rid of the poor little Maytag when it was done. It's funny because it pervades the food that you eat. And it's not funny anymore. Somebody take the time to ask Grace about garlic bread. It gets in the butter that you put on the bread. Just ask her. So, well, you know what we had to do when that happened? We had to isolate all the food items in glass jars, which is what happens to our heart. We isolate ourselves to not be touched by the stench, but in consequence, it makes for more work for God to get in. Because the regular packaging wasn't good enough anymore, so we would have to take these ball jars to put everything in, and then you'd smell it when you come through the front door. You'd think it would be sealed into a refrigerator. That's just not true. Now, this is a funny story, and I'm telling on myself, but there really is spiritual application. The stench pervaded every facet of our home, and so does bitterness and guilt and shame. The weight of sins committed. It pervades your prayer life. Pervades your relationships. Pervades how you parent your children. Pervades your marriage. Pervades how you affect your neighbors. I can tell you honestly, we never invited anyone to the house after that. How do you win the loss if you can't invite them to your house? Because of the stench of sin. How do you affect the world around you for Jesus Christ if you bear the weight of the world? It mars our clothes and causes us to look over our shoulder wondering where the next tragedy will enter our lives. The weight of sin gets heavy after a while. And instead of doing what the Bible says, lift up thine eyes for thy redemption draweth nigh, you instead cower under the weight. You lose sight of hope. You lose sight of being able to forgive in a way that you wish you could have been forgiven. This is common among all Christians. We all have times that we sulk in our mully grubs and we continue in the gutter of our own mind because of the weight, and it so easily besets us. Do you know when you climb Mount Everest, the first couple of camps, you carry heavy bags and lots of oxygen tanks and food for your journey. And you the first few camps, you carry a lot of weight. But the closer you get towards the top, the less weight you can carry. And such is our Christian walk. The closer towards God you want to be, the less weight you can carry with you. And at some point, you have to get rid of the dead weight off of our lives. You don't have a choice. Theologian Lewis Smedes wrote, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to discover that the prisoner was you." To forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to discover the prisoner was you. Unforgiveness pervades each of our lives. Whether we feel like it's justified or unjustified, whether we're just angry and red in the face because we had an angry and red in the face kind of week, or because somebody really did us wrong, somebody really pushed the envelope with acceptability, and maybe they even broke the law in doing you wrong, but yet we have this portion of us where we can't forgive, we can't move on, we can't let it go. We get so used to the weight that we lose the strength to push it off. Amen. And that's where a lot of us live. Amen. Drake, just as heavy as that little fella is, my arms got tired and my shoulders were heavy as the lactic acid builds in your muscles, and soon you're weaker than when you started. And instead of throwing him off at the beginning, I carried him around the whole sanctuary to feel the burden of the weight. Amen. That secret companion of sin. Amen. We oftentimes find out how to get sin forgiven. We come to an altar, we pray, we ask God to forgive us, and we think for a second that it's gone, and then we turn around and go home, and we're making dinner, and all of a sudden we collapse in a pile of tears because of the weight. And we thought, well, this was dealt with. I went to the altar. I was baptized in Jesus' name, and all of it was removed. But why do I feel still so heavy? Why do I carry this dead weight in my spirit? The thing is about sin is once it's forgiven, it's forgiven. God doesn't even recognize that it ever took place. We choose to carry the weight. We choose. We make that choice cognitively. Whether we recognize it or not, we choose to remain in unforgiveness. We choose to remain in guilt. We choose to remain in shame over something God Almighty has delivered us for. We're making the cross of none effect by remaining with the weight when God said, let me have it. That's why he said, amen, take up my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And yet we still maintain this dead weight over our spirits. And you wonder why you can't have joy, and you wonder why you can't have peace, and you wonder why you got to take a pill in the morning to wake up, and a pill at night to go to bed, and a pill not to cry, and a pill to not be too happy, and we have this unevenness going on. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't take a pill. That's between you and your doctor. I'm simply saying we live in a world that's pervaded, amen, by dead weight, and we don't recognize it as such. If we could just shed the weight. I mean, we've shed the sin. That's the easy part, to decide to be baptized. We know, amen, the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You get in the water in Jesus' name, the sin stays behind. You come out a new creature. But if you decide to carry the dead weight, that's on you. Amen. I know some men who were drug addicts. I know a man right now who has been in church for 4 years. God called him to preach, and he still, every time before he preaches, battles in his mind with the weight of his sin. He has to decide every time before he climbs behind a pulpit whether I'm going to carry the weight with me as I preach or not. Do you carry the weight with you home today or not? The option is yours. But let me give you a warning. We've been doing this class on Wednesday nights, the journey. Leadership or discipleship journey, connection. It's been a lot of fun. This past week, we went over Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. I want to bring something to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, is the beginning of that prayer. It says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let me heed a warning to you that would carry dead weight. Let it go. Let unforgiveness go. Let your inability to forgive the hearts of men, let it go. I wish Elise was in here. I'd have her sing it for you. We watch Frozen about 8 times a week. Let it go. Let it go. Hear a heart-wrenching plea from this guy today. Let it go. Go home different because you choose to go home different. I promise you, if you'll ask the Lord to help you today, He will help you. He will help you take the dead weight off of your spirit. You want to see the cloud and the lightning bolt disappear? Forgive. Forgive those things which have been done to you. Forgive yourself for the things which you've done. Remove yourself from the shame and guilt. Remove yourself from this body of death. Decide today that today is the last day I will carry this weight with me. One final scripture as the musicians come. This is Romans chapter 7. Verse 23 says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when my mind, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. With my mind I serve the law of God. It is a cognitive decision that you're going to make. To put down the weight. To put down the things which affect you. God's standing right here saying, come, let me help you. But you have to make the choice to let go. Amen. Would you stand all over this house today? And, amen. Why don't you reach over and take your neighbor by the hand? And let's unify in prayer to help each other lift off the body of death, to lift off the toxins, to wash ourselves of the scent, man, to get rid of the unforgiveness of the spirit, to get rid of those things which are bringing death to our own spirit. You cannot survive in bitterness. God, deliver me from this body of this death. Deliver me from the body of this death. Hallelujah. Somebody lift up your shout right now. Lift up a sound of worship. Hallelujah. Cry out unto God. Help me today, Lord. Help me today. Deliver me from the body of this death. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I desperately need your help this afternoon. I desperately need your help, God. Help me to forgive as I am forgiven. Help me to forgive. Hallelujah, 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 God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Amen. If you need deliverance today from the body of this death, won't you come? If you struggle with unforgiveness and guilt and shame, won't you come? If you struggle in your own heart with the weight of sins forgiven, but you still live with a mindset of unforgiveness, won't you come? Jesus, we love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God.